don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We don't go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
You're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast, the official UK podcast for the Seattle Seahawks. Here are your hosts, Ross Bell, Stuart Court, and Adam Nathan. Go Hawks!
Hello and welcome to the Pedestrian Podcast, the official podcast for the UK Seahawkers. We are all assembled once again, all fully credentialed. So as ever, it's myself, Stuart Court, joined as ever yet again by Ross Bell and Adam Nathan. How are we, guys?
Good, mate. Good. Looking forward to Christmas.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Well, I just want, me and you both work in retail, so I just want to get out of them.
Yeah, I can't wait for the week to be finished.
Absolute zoo. Adam, how are we?
All good, thank you. I'm, I'm in two fantasy football finals on the weekend, so I'm just trying to work out who's playing when, because it's a bit of a, well, that's a zoo
all
in
over
itself.
The place this weekend.
This weekend, it's all over the shop.
Yeah, well, there's one game tonight, and there's how many? 12 on Saturday?
And then two Sunday and one on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. But yeah, this week on the Pedestrian Podcast, we will recap the now week old Thursday Night Football snoozer, really, against the Rams. Look ahead to what this week brings on Saturday night in our final regular season home game of 2016 against the Cardinals. And we'll get involved with some more lock and shocks and true or false. First up, a few notes. Obviously, Pro Bowl voting came down on, was it Monday night or Tuesday night? It was announced, and the Seahawks are sending, well, hopefully not sending, because hopefully they'll be in the Super Bowl, but they had four of their defensive players make the Pro Bowl this year. Michael Bennett, Richard Sherman, Cliff Averill, for the first time in his 9-year career, and Bobby Wagner all made the Pro Bowl roster, with also Justin Britt, Russell Wilson, Jimmy Graham, Cam Chancellor, Stephen Hauschka, Tyler Lockett, and one other all named Pro Bowl alternates. But it's a pretty slim list, but a pretty spot on list, really, isn't it? The Pro Bowl, Adam?
Yeah, I think it's about right. It's been a fairly mediocre season for the Seahawks, despite, I think the record is probably the best thing about the season, if that makes sense. The play hasn't necessarily matched a team that's in the playoffs with a guaranteed home game by the end of week 15. And I think those that deserve to be recognized have been. I mean, I know there's a lot of KJ Wright that people think, you know, it's outrageous, but ultimately I think KJ Wright's one of those players that you know much more about him as a fan of if he plays for your team than if he plays, than if you were, you know, a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. I just can't imagine he'd think of KJ Wright being the guy that to put into the Pro Bowl. And it's idiots that vote for it. So, you know, what are you gonna do? I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson is the return guy as a starter for the NFC. He's had one decent run back, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been more involved in the offense, if anything, Cordarrelle Patterson. It's Sproles, then Lockett, I think. That's the three at the kick return. But, on KJ, right? He is, as you said, he's probably the one who's most, the most unluckiest to miss out. But do you agree that, it's a case of, he's on that good of a defense that it's not that, he doesn't get that recognition, Ross, because the defense, the players around him are too good, if that's such a thing.
Yeah, he's not the standout superstar, is he? I wanted to, Justin Britt as an alternative. That's a,
yeah.
Well done, Justin.
We have a Pro Bowl center.
Amazing. He's had a great season, yeah.
Yeah. He is quite comfortably the best part of the offensive line so far this season. And as we stand in week 15, which is just ludicrous to a certain extent. But what about you? Obviously, Cliff Averill, first time in 9 years. He said he found out when the Seahawks Twitter tagged him in a tweet on Tuesday night, which is one way to find out, I guess. But it's fully deserved after the season, isn't it, Russ?
Definitely, yeah. Cliff Averill has been a phenomenal pass rusher this season. I'm still a little bit unsure as why Bennett has made it, to be honest. He's not had the best season by Bennett standards.
It's just, I think that's a typical Pro Bowl on a reputation deal, I think, with Bennett. But he's still a nuisance and a nightmare. He's just not getting the stat sheet, which you'd expect someone in the Pro Bowl to be.
Yeah, I mean, Frank Clark's stats look a lot more impressive.
Yeah, but obviously that month does pay a large part into that.
True.
Richard Sherman, Bobby Wagner, they were expected. Are you surprised there's no offensive players? Obviously the offensive struggle, but Doug Baldwin's looked alright. Lockett has been.
Yeah, Doug Baldwin's not far off 1,000 yards already, so I mean.
No. And Jimmy Graham's, well, he was the number two tight end in receiving yards. Obviously, he isn't getting the scores he possibly needs, but coming back from where he was this time a year ago on the operating table, it's a bit.
I mean, Doug should have got a call up just for that, the Duke movie put on that defender.
Yeah, we'll get to that shortly. That was really, really, that was quite impressive. Roster moves for the Seahawks. They signed running back Terrence McGee off of Cleveland's practice squad to fill the opening created by placing DeMontre Moore on injured reserve, who was dinged for a DUI over the weekend, but is apparently on IR with a foot injury. They also confirmed that they signed a running back called McKissick. I can't understand my handwriting for his first name, but he's signed to the 53. And elsewhere, Gary Gilliam has won back, if there's won is the right adjective to use. Will be the starting right tackle this Saturday night against the Cardinals. But moving on, and we'll quickly review last week's game.
Russell's going to lay it up over the top. Doug Baldwin! Touchdown! Seahawks! And they just lost Doug Baldwin. He was wide open in the back corner of the end zone. And Troy Hill, had no idea where he was. And Russell laid it up over the top. A tough way to score 6 points, but the Seahawks finally punch it in.
It was color rush, as Adam put last week, that you had to tone down the brightness on everyone's TVs, but wasn't much to write about, was it? A 24-3 win, starring really, and only Tyler Lockett with 130 yards and a 45-50 yard touchdown. He did it all sitting on my fantasy bench, but it wasn't a classic, was it? It wasn't an all-time classic, was it, last week? Russ?
No, it was offensive in every possible way, from the uniforms to the play to the time it's being shown at. It was just a hideous game all around.
Yeah, and even with the Lockett touchdown, it wasn't really enough.
Yeah, I mean, that won me a bet. I had Lockett any time touchdown scorer. That's good. But apart from that, yeah, that's the one kind of nugget of enjoyment I had in this game.
Yeah, and as you said, Doug Baldwin's move was quite impressive. I think the best thing about it was that he sent Jermaine Kearse as far away from him as he possibly could before he could just ruin it all again, like he did in the Kansas City game, and someone's put it out. Adam, it wasn't the greatest, was it?
It was boring. I mean, it was helped in part by the fact that they were completely anemic on offense. You know, it's always fun watching the defense go to work, and that's good. But, you know, maybe it's different because it's a 1:30 kickoff, but there was nothing in that game on offense that got you in any way excited. I mean, there were about two or three explosive plays. The run game was just bordering on depressing. And ultimately, as I said for the last couple of weeks, I feel like we're just wasting time until the playoffs. And it's very hard to not watch us without thinking about what's it going to look like in the playoffs. And I have to say, I'm pretty concerned because unless they're going to have a huge turnaround, there just doesn't look like anywhere near enough on offense to compete with the best teams in the league anymore.
No, most definitely not, as you said, not in this current form, not this year. But obviously, as you said a few weeks ago, you said the last few weeks, you get in the tournament and all bets are off, really, aren't they, to a certain extent?
Yeah, they are. I mean, you do need to see a couple of trends. I mean, I guess the last team to sort of stumble into the playoffs and really win one. Well, I mean, Denver did last year, I guess, week 17, they nearly missed out altogether. But I don't really remember how the Giants were when they were 9-7 and went on to win the Super Bowl. But I don't know. I mean, there's been like a zip about us in the two Super Bowl years going into the playoffs, and like a buzz. And right now it just seems like a bit of a, I don't know, like a trudge, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. Russ?
I think that's kind of the entire NFL though, bar maybe the Patriots and possibly the Cowboys, but they're not really lighting the world up. I think no one is massively standing out, are they, this year?
I think the Falcons look good.
The Falcons and offense look quite good.
Yeah, they can't defend for Toffee.
No, yeah, the last 2 weeks have stopped teams to less than 14 while scoring 45. It hadn't happened for 12 years since we did it. But they have faced the Rams and the 49ers,
yeah, exactly.
who lost half their offense somehow on Sunday. The three of their offensive players are now on IR following.
You've got one fit tight end, the
49ers. Yeah. Well, that's until Cam Chancellor gets his hands on him in 10 days' time. But the main concern for me on the offensive side of the ball anyway on last Thursday was Jermaine Ifedi. He was bad. He was off balance. He was missing. Obviously, there's a little slight asterisk because of who he was up against sometimes. 99 Aaron Donald is like no other player at that position in the NFL. Obviously, he's going to face him now for another year. But this is a worrying, as you say, with the offense on the whole, it's a worrying trend with Ifedi, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, he has some games where he looks like a complete turnstile, unfortunately. And, you know, we were talking on Messenger this week about, you know, maybe could he move to a tackle one day or just what is he about and free agency and things like that. And I don't know, it just looks like a bit of an, I'm sure will be a serviceable and good player, but I really thought after the off-season buzz that we'd have a better player on our hands, you know, 11 starts into his career.
Yeah, I also think that there could be a little room for manoeuvre with his injury. He got, was it in the lead up to the opener, I think?
Yeah.
Where he missed like 5 weeks. That might have set him back a little while, but that is being very kind to him because he just hasn't shown enough that you expect to see from a guy his size. It's why you expect him to just take over defenders and he's just not doing that. But it's an occurrence with most of the O-line, though, isn't it, Russ?
Yeah, I mean, Justin Britt aside, I mean, there's not really been one standout among them. They've all had games.
Well, they've all stood out, but they've all stood out in bollocks.
They've all had games where they just give up massive plays and put Russell in trouble.
Yeah. There is a thought pattern that it's affecting Russell's internal clock, but that just seems to be making excuses for the quarterback who's having a poor season. Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett, as we said, were the main two standouts on for the offensive side. That Doug Baldwin, though, I mean, I think you said a few weeks ago, Adam, that the only thing he can't do is catch a fade route in the back of the end zone. And that's one way to do it, I guess. He's just completely juked the guy out of Washington State, didn't he?
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, if you are going to throw a fade, I do quite like that more sort of slightly flatter zipping pass, which apparently Bevel said that they don't throw a fade to him because he's not tall enough. Well, that's the way to alleviate that issue. Obviously, that was probably the least important part of the whole drive, which I'm sure we'll come onto at some point, which is rare when you're talking about an actual touchdown when it takes place. But it's fine. Just back on the offensive line, Chris Collinsworth was doing, I think the Sunday night game, and he was saying that he was talking to the Tampa Bay coaches, and he said, you know, if we can keep Dallas on the field for 13 plays, it's very hard for a team to go that many plays and not inevitably give up a penalty, which could be potentially drive killing.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks are doing that, you know, basically every drive. We are making things so much harder for ourselves. I mean, holding, sometimes you have to hold. And I know Aaron Donald's a good player. But three false starts in your own stadium is embarrassing.
Yeah, it really is. I think one of them was the first play.
First play.
The first play. I think the first play after timeout or something ridiculous. But that, as you say, with the 13 play, I think they're talking about penalties like towards the end of the drive, not to start a drive. Well, obviously, there's a drive of, I think it's the Eagles game where we drove like 93 yards and it started off as an 83 yards needed to get the touchdown, but we put ourselves back like halfway. But yeah, on the defensive side, there's obviously one man who's dominated, headlines and clickbait and all that stuff. It's Richard Sherman. Obviously, he went off at some point around that Doug Baldwin touchdown. I'm not too sure when it was. I don't think there's been any audio or video released of it, as it's just been that many people saw it that it's carried on into this week as well. Have some thoughts on Sherman and the outburst and everything?
Yeah, I think he went off after we threw on the 1 yard line where Wilson almost threw a pick to, he was going for Graham, wasn't he, in the back of the end zone?
Yeah.
Sherman just, I think rightly so, is a bit pissed off that 1 yard. Stop trying to throw it. Just run it in. We've seen what happens when we try and do this. And I think I'm starting to think there's a little bit of a disconnect between the defense and the offense and the play calling, especially. I don't know. I think this is my kind of a bit of a make or break kind of year for the two, because Bevel's getting more hate than normal, and it seems like the defence is starting to turn on him slightly as well.
Yeah, but I think Sherman, to a certain extent, kind of has to stay in his lane on that. The reason they brought Jimmy Graham in is, it was at 1 yard line, yeah. So, but you brought him in for that situation, for that very... You can't really... No, I think Sherman overstepped the mark. I think the stuff with Jim Moore on Tuesday was just absolutely pathetic all round.
Yeah, he's had a bad week, isn't he, Sherman?
Not from Sherman. Jim Moore should know better. Jim Moore is... He pushed and prodded, and obviously the way he thanks him at the end, he's just baiting him, and he got exactly the reaction he needed. He made himself relevant for 36 hours. as I said to Adam with a message, he's the anti-softy. He sounds like every day on 710 ESPN like he hates his job, where softies just can't believe he's in the position he is. It sounds like the excitement just exudes through the radio and it's a softy. But Jim Moore is just... Sherman shouldn't have reacted. He definitely shouldn't have did what he did with Bevel. But come on, man.
I think it's just a public thing. Do it in the locker room, that's fine. Just don't do it in public. We've seen that a few times this year. His drops where the team had to gather around him and stuff. It's like, just, you're one of the leaders in the team. Do it in the locker room.
Yeah, and also with Daryl Bevel, I said to you earlier this morning, I was going to stand on the Daryl Bevel hill. Daryl, just imagine calling an offense where every other play, every third play, your quarterback has half a second to throw before he's annihilated by a defensive tackle. Imagine calling a play where your left tackle played basketball for 3 years and hadn't played an American game of football for 11 years or what it was. Imagine calling a play where the guy you focus everything on at three different, you have to put a plug in a guy at three different positions before he finds a home on the offensive line. Mm. Imagine calling plays for a player who has a bum knee and a bum ankle and is having a bad season. Imagine calling a play where Christian Michael is your running back and gets field demons every time. Imagine calling plays where Jermaine Kearse is your number two target for 6 weeks of a season. Daryl Bevel is not the issue. Daryl Bevel has no say compared to other coaches in the offensive side on who they draft. He gets these players and he's basically said, right, you make the best of them. And he's doing a pretty damn good job. He's got a quarterback who is struggling really, really badly. Adam pointed out someone that said someone still thinks he's going to be better than Brady and Manning and all that nonsense. Brady, Manning, Rogers maybe has. Brady and Manning didn't have a season like Russell Wilson's having. He is really, really struggling this season. And a lot of the offensive woes are on the offensive line, but as I keep saying, a lot of it does have to come back to Russell Wilson, because the money he gets, the attention he gets, the focus obviously he rightly deserves and gets, he needs to play better than this. And if he doesn't, this, then it could be quite a short playoff run. Adam?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, to go on Sherman, I think he is just a stubborn guy who probably realizes that he got it wrong, but just can't be asked to own up to it. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Carroll meeting on Friday was very apologetic and he has apologized to his team, but he just can't be asked to say it in front of the media to step down, which, you know, it is what it is. As someone said, if this is the worst of Sherman, then sign me up. I'm cool with that. And I think I'm with you on Bevel. I mean, this whole 1 yard thing would be completely alleviated if Wilson wasn't accurate with the throw. I mean, you can't not have the threat of throwing from the 1 yard line, especially when you run the ball like, you know, a junior college team against the 85 Bears. We can't run the ball. We tried to run it and we got stuffed immediately. I mean, we are rubbish at rushing the ball right now. So you can't just take it out of the playbook. And, you know, Wilson's got off very lightly because it was a crap throw to Grant.
Yeah,
nearly got picked off. That was the only issue as far as I could see. Because if the play caller saying, throw the ball to Jimmy Graham in the end zone, I've got no problem with that whatsoever. And you'll never hear me complaining, ever.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what people have been saying. He hasn't been saying enough for the last 8, 15, 16
we've all called for
months.
It, haven't we?
And then when he says it, he still gets blitzed by everyone in the media and on Facebook and Twitter and everything. The dude can't win to a certain extent. Also, on terrible throws from Russell Wilson, the fourth down throw is to Marcel Reese or Wilson, where he just underthrew him. And Marcel Reese, he could have crawled into the end zone from where he was, and he underthrew the ball. But it's probably Daryl Bevel's fault for not drawing up the perfect play.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah. You won't see a worse three touchdown game than that. I mean, the pick at the end, what was that?
It's just,
I know it didn't matter, but you killed your punter to get to that position for a touchdown, and you do that.
Pray for John.
Poor Tom Ryan. I think that's a good way of putting it. But again, with Wilson, I think we've said that before, where he's had like the Eagles game where we won, the Carolina game, he didn't really do anything. He didn't set the world alight like he was when we've beaten down teams a couple of years ago and last year. It's just been a weird season for Wilson.
The only thing I might say about Wilson is that I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he went into the playoffs in 2013 on a bit of a bum run as well. And I think before that New Orleans game, there was a little bit of doubt about whether he could do it or not.
I think so. That sounds about right. I don't think
there was a lot of faith in him. He wasn't being seen as... You know, I think he'd thrown, maybe not picks, but he hadn't thrown many touchdowns at all in the weeks leading up. Because I think we beat the Rams in the last game when Tate grabbed that one in the corner.
Yeah.
I think we just lost to Arizona at home. And we'd lost to San Francisco on the road as well in three straight weeks.
Yeah, because that season we kind of started like a house of fire, didn't we? We were like 4-0, then we lost to Colts, and we went like 8-1, then we had that.
And then lost two at the end.
I think you're probably right. So hopefully he turns it around. He's probably going to be one of the more experienced player quarterbacks on the NFC side of the, obviously Rodgers and Eli are probably going to be around, but elsewhere it's pretty slim pickings in terms of experience. So hopefully, If we get the bye with the number two seed, hopefully that sets us in good stead. Pass rush on the defensive side was pretty impressive. They got to Goff often and with pretty good regularity. Cliff Averill yet again. I think Frank Clark had a sack as well, but no turnovers. But the pass rush was against a very, very poor. If Seahawks, O-line's the worst one in the league. The Rams is 31 or 30, isn't it? But the pass rush was back to how we want to see it, isn't it, Russ? Wasn't it, Russ?
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned Frank Clark. He started the game with a sack. He only had two tackles. One and a half of those was on Jared Goff.
that's not a bad ratio to have, is it, really?
No, they look menacing all day. Obviously, yeah, that offensive line is probably as good as ours. But, yeah, there's just constant pressure from everywhere. There was one point, I think, where three of them rush on one side. I think it was Marsh, Clark and Bennett, and then Averill came around the other side completely uncovered and just took out Jared Goff.
Yeah, but they didn't get as impressive a sack on a quarterback as Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake did on...
God.
They broke Bryce Petty on that.
Almost snapped him in half.
That hurt, but I just watched it on a GIF.
Yeah.
But yeah, pass rush back to how we expect, Adam.
Pass rush was much better. I enjoyed watching the defense very much. It was fun to watch. And you know, if they can, it's a real shame about Moore because he was a really nice sort of fourth piece that could get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Although, in saying that, Cassius Marsh looks pretty good. And I think he probably had one of his best games for a while. I'm just looking forward to seeing them against Arizona because if we're 32 and the Rams are 31, the Cardinals' offensive line is probably number 30.
they do have quite a few injuries though on that offensive line. To be fair to them, there is one other Rams related thing. Obviously, we had to sadly bury Rams Lowell Bingo when they fired Jeff Fisher on the Monday. But what's that quote he's come out with since, Russ, about the Rams?
I want one more chance to coach in the NFL on one condition: that I can beat the Rams. Good luck with that, Jeff.
I mean, he's just the greatest. He's the gift that will never stop giving. As I said to Ross before we started recording, he owes a 20-year career for Steve McNair being a good player for a few years. That's the reason he's still a coach. I think he even said, you can't get the losses without being sticking around for that long.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fair point, but the other coaches who have got all those losses won things. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, one to praise on defense, Adam.
One to praise on defense. Michael Thomas's hands from the Rams. That would probably be one because that was a lovely drop. One to praise. I thought just as a unit they were really good. I didn't think there was a, you know, when you have no turnovers, it's difficult to really pick up like a standout guy. I mean, they're such a poor side. I always enjoy watching Jaron Reed and Rubin go to work. I think they do a good job. And I tell you what, let's give it to Bobby Wagner for stuffing Todd Gurley when first-round running back should be destroying a linebacker in that situation. And Bobby stood firm.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Bobby Wagner would be my pick. Elsewhere, I think Steven Terrell, apart from when he let Michael Thomas free on that one play, I think he wasn't really tested, really. So that's always a good thing. But I think this is the week where they may go at him with JJ Nelson and all their deep threats, but we'll get to that in a bit. Ross, one on defense to praise.
Yeah, Sherman, that hit he laid on Jared Goff, although that was bad, he probably saved Jared Goff's life because Cam Chancellor was rushing right behind Sherman.
Yes, because Jared Goff was in concussion protocol.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot worse if you look at the few more
yards. Yeah, if he runs into Chancellor, that's game over.
Yeah, he's no longer a rookie. He's
a man.
Different sphere. One to praise on offense, Russ.
Tyler Lockett, extraordinary. 7 catches, 130 yards. He's been promoted to number 2 finally. It's all looking good.
Yeah. Adam.
Yeah, it would have to be Lockett. It has to be Lockett. I thought he looked really good. Couple of nice returns, a few great catches. I'm pretty sure it was this game. Did he not get the offense rolling with about a 35-yard reception on the left sideline?
Yeah.
In the first quarter, that sort of got the offense going. And very nice to see the Canadian wonder get in the end zone, Luke Wilson. I think he's been an unsung hero, Luke. And as I say, I don't think he'll end up being a Seahawk next year, because if you look at the contract that the 49ers just gave their tight end, I think Wilson's going to get more money than we can afford. But I think there's a good career there for someone to pick up.
Yeah, I think also McDonald was Wilson's college teammate at Rice as well. So I think they come out the same draft class and everything. But for me, on offense, it's going to be a bit strange. It's one or two. I think George Fant, because of the lack of George Fant chat we've had for the last 10-15 minutes, I think he's doing fine at left tackle, if only the other three of the other four places were. But also, I think the main one to praise on offense, although he died for the cause pretty much, he was on number 2 in rushing yards on Thursday night. It's John Ryan. I mean, that was the weirdest, funniest, most worrying play. I mean, I laughed at it, and then when he obviously with the bobble, I mean, what happened? Yeah, but then to see him not move and all the stuff, and obviously his wife being a stand-up comedian, that was great, because there's a great picture she posted of him not wearing the shirt, just having the shirt placed on him where it said, "We run the rest west" and stuff. So it's brilliant. He is massively missed on Twitter, because obviously he deleted all the trolls and all that.
They decided on the Seahawks podcast that he fumbled that ball because his guns are just too big that he couldn't swap hands.
To be fair,
apparently kicking balls are slicker than regular balls, because they don't get used as much.
That did fly out like it was a bar of soap.
It really, 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 really killed himself. Absolutely. But yeah, John Ryan was our second leading rusher last year, so that explains how well the rushing game went.
I'm pretty sure his rush was longer than any rush Todd Gurley's had the whole season.
26
yards. Which is fantastic. That team, man. Oh, my days. Moving on. Some true or false. Russ, do you want to get kicked off?
Let's go. True or false. Hugh Jackson will be the Browns head coach next season, even though they're going to go 0-16 this year.
I hope so. I hope it's true.
Yeah, I hope it's true as well.
They've had like 54 quarterbacks.
Did you see him the other week after a game? He just looked like he was going to cry. He just looked like, what am I supposed to do with this level of talent?
Yeah, he's a good coach. I hope they don't go 0-16, but it's really stuck. Who they got this week? The Chargers haven't got a running back, so maybe this will be the week. Adam?
I would say true, and I think he's probably gotten his own way a couple of times with silly things like giving RG3 all the preseason reps at the expense of someone like a Cody Kessler, who I think probably will be a half decent quarterback, or they'll probably draft someone with the seventh pick to get off the Eagles, who will then obviously do his ACL in day one of training camp. I think that the Browns will keep him. I think they'll keep Sashi Brown around. I think the Rams and the 49ers have been considerably worse than the Browns this season.
Yeah, a lot less fun to watch as well. But mine is also Browns related. A general manager this offseason is going to make a terrible decision and give Terrell Pryor a lot of money. True or false?
True. Possibly the 49ers, because they are desperate for a wide receiver.
Yeah. Adam?
Well, I mean, the Browns got so much cap room. I think that they could do a lot. Well, you know, he's certainly a good player. I think if he has Corey Coleman and they draft another wide receiver, you know, you'd probably take that as a trio. Mm.
Yeah, I think he's bought his own hype. I think at the start of the season, obviously, the offense hasn't really plateaued because it never really got going. But his stats are not great. He's not very popular on opposing teams.
Nice.
So the defensive backs he's come up against, he's getting a lot of rubbish thrown his way. I just think someone's going to pay a lot of money, and he's, yeah. All the talk of people regretting that we let him go a few years ago, I'm quite happy letting him go if Tyler McAvoy is still around here next year. I think someone's going to make a very, very unwise decision on Terrell Pryor in the offseason. Adam, true or false?
Seahawk-ish related. I think this is false, by the way. But now that Gus Bradley has been fired by the Jacksonville Jaguars, should Pete Carroll find a way to get him back into the Seahawk defensive coaching system?
False means?
As in?
He shouldn't.
Yes or no? Should he?
No.
No.
But I think he will, because Carroll's answer, I think he... slip of the tongue, he gave a little bit too much away when he asked about it on Monday, I think. I don't think he will. I don't think he should, but I think he might.
I think he may compete with Dan Quinn to get Gus Bradley's services, maybe, because that Atlanta defense needs some help. So maybe the two of them could team up.
Yeah. I think I'd be surprised. I think it's Adam, obviously, might probably get this reference. I think it'll be a Sarkisian kind of thing with Bama. I think he'll just be brought back in the building to keep him in the game and stuff, and just get all the Jacksonville funk off of him. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a consultant, whatever they call it, but at some point.
I mean, he's not getting a head coaching job.
No, not
at least
not in the NFL.
5 years.
No, I think if you bring him back, you run the risk of kind of not upsetting Chris Richard, but kind of putting a bit of pressure, unnecessary pressure on him, maybe?
No, I can't remember what his specialty was on defense. I think it might have been defensive line. So if you get someone with Gus Bradley's experience in the NFL, calling plays in the NFL,
there's no good line coach.
Yeah, but then you get Richard dealing more with the Stephen Terrells and Jeremy Lanes of the world. It may prove a benefit, but I can't hope not. But he's such a player's coach, I wouldn't be surprised if he finds a landing spot somewhere in the collegiate world, if not next year, the year after, because you can just see it exudes so much the Pete Carroll positivity kind of thing. So he just needs to go away and learn his craft a little bit more. But yeah, moving on. Cards. Cardinals come rolling to town on Saturday evening, the final regular season home game of the season before there will be at least one, hopefully a couple more playoff home games.
One of those guards need to reach up with their hands and make some contact with him.
24-yard attempt. Oh, he hits the upright! It's no good! How in the world?
That's the reason. I'm just telling you, it has been a nightmare. It has been a nightmare for this team. Here comes Wagner right over the top and some pressure off the side. Was that Sherman coming around the edge?
He thinks he's won the game. Oh!
Wow.
Hmm. Ooh.
Wow.
Can't make this stuff up.
Wagner up over the top. And he made contact again. It must have been incidental.
John Ryan to hold. Oh. And he misses it! That's impossible!
Oh, my God.
That is impossible!
I'm telling you, there's something inside his brain about this building.
Woo!
Oh, my goodness gracious.
That could not have happened.
You know what? Maybe this is justice for all concerned.
Oh, man. I guess if a game deserves to wind up in a tie, this is the one. Ryan, push it down. Hauschka, just pulls it.
I'm just telling you, and we've watched this, Al. Every kick that Hauschka has made tonight, he has gone up and fooled around with the turf and felt uncomfortable. I don't know if he stuck his foot in the ground. That first field goal barely cleared. He kind of chunked that one a little bit. And maybe the happiest guy in the building right now, Chandler Catanzaro. Oh, my goodness.
And Larry Fitzgerald watching. Peterson watching. Ball at the 20-yard line. So do you settle for the tie or do you air one out here and hope for a pass interference?
It's the, as I said, last time we played them, I think, when it was a 6-6 tie. It's the David Johnson Cardinals, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, he's so good. Has led me to a fantasy championship game, which I'll be forever grateful. But yeah, he's glorious. I mean, I think is that 14 games in a row now with over 100 yards from scrimmage?
Yeah, the first time ever.
It's just amazing achievement. And you know, obviously it'd be great if we can shut him down. You'd have to think that even if he gets 100 yards, there's probably not another 100 yards spread around the rest of the Cardinals team. So, you could probably afford to stack the box when he lines up as a running back and, you know, sort of test Palmer to do what else he wants.
Yeah. Ross, you've been a naysayer on DJ 31. Are you coming around to DJ 31?
Yeah, he's all right. You give him the ball that many times, getting 100 yards should be the minimum he gets a game. I just want to say the Cardinals are 1-5 away from home this year, and that one was with Drew Stanton at quarterback against the 49ers. Carson hasn't won an away game all year.
It's against the 49ers. You kind of like answers your own question or statement.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's all on David Johnson. I think obviously Michael Floyd decided to fall asleep at traffic lights
and somehow ended up as a Patriot.
Do his best George Michael impression in Arizona last week. But yeah, now he's somehow a Patriot.
Super Bowl.
But yeah, so they really don't have a lot of wide receiver outside number 11, who made an interesting comment yesterday. Do you think he's done in Arizona after this year, Fitzgerald, Adam?
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to look elsewhere. And I think it will be that... Is he out of contract, I presume?
I think so. Or is something like his cap hit is humongous next year?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think he's done. I think for a guy who's been so important to a franchise, you would think that if a player like that was going to stay, they'd be much more forthright in how they would suggest it.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't expect, for example, if, I don't know, Earl Thomas, if he was coming down at the end of his contract and he, you know, if he was forthright and wanted to stay, you would expect, you know, a very, very fervent statement to confirm that. But Fitzgerald being a little bit, 50-50 about it makes me think that he's going to go.
Yeah. Do you think you could, fly up north?
I'd love it. He's one of my favourite players in the NFL. I'd have a jersey with his name on it before the ink was dry on the contract.
Let's send 15 south and let's bring 11 up north.
Oh, to be fair, Bruce Arians would probably take that, to be honest. He's a bit of a wild card. But as Fitzgerald, though, do you think he's done, Ross, in Arizona?
Yeah, I think he is. I think also Carson could be done. He's got maybe one more year because he's got a massive paycheck coming his way, but this whole team's going to get blown up and has to be rebuilt around Johnson probably.
Which isn't a bad starting block. I mean, the 49ers have a lot less starting blocks for their new GM this year. But But if he does leave, I think if it's not Seattle, I think he might actually end up going home and go to Minnesota, because that team could do with someone else outside of Stephon Diggs. It's a similar situation, yeah. A weird quarterback, but they have more free agents than I think any other team in the NFL this year. They have a quarterback who his arm appears to be waning, a coach whose health may dictate what he does next year, which is obviously far, far more important than a few silly games against the Seahawks next year. And as you say, as I said a couple of weeks ago, I think they could be really on the slide the next couple of years if they don't draft really well and get a bit lucky with Carson injuries and the coach sticking it out. But defensive side for Arizona, it's Honey Badger and Calais Campbell, isn't it, Ross? Really?
Yeah, Calais Campbell worries me a lot more than Honey Badger does. I don't see enough from Honey Badger to get all the praise that he gets. I don't really understand it, but Campbell against our offensive line, that's going to be an issue.
Yes, most definitely. And I think Adam, you watched the game on Sunday, didn't you, against the Saints?
Most of it, yeah.
Yeah, he was the main one on the defensive side who looked like he'd give a damn, wasn't he, Campbell?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's no surprise he's in a contract year. So as you said, he looks like one of the few that hasn't turned it in for the season. I mean, Chandler Jones plays for them as well. He's healthy, I presume.
Mm. Yeah.
He's in a fantastic pass rusher. And, you know, it's still going to be a difficult defense to play against, albeit much more banged up than it was at the start of the year. First round draft pick Robert Condici is just nowhere to be seen, is he?
Irrelevant. No, he's,
yeah, and he was so often tabbed to be a Seahawk that it's, luckily it didn't come true. But yeah, we had it with Fitzgerald. Kelly Campbell, as you say, is in contract year. We need that interior pass rush. I think we mentioned him last week. You'd take him, wouldn't you, Russ, in Seattle?
Oh, definitely. It would remind me of when we took Kevin Williams from the Vikings, a long-term veteran who just knows what he's doing.
I think that's a really good comparison to make. Campbell, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, I said last week that I'd rather, if we were going to make a big money free agency signing, I'd rather it would be as surefire bet as you can get on the defensive line, as opposed to trying to throw money at an offensive lineman who might be useless. So he would be my pick for a big free agency signing in the summer.
Yeah, I think that would definitely be the position outside of obviously tackle, but I think that would be a Jamarcus Webb type deal, because I was looking at a certain Mancunian Oakland Raiders deal he's on currently, and he's not going to be very expensive. So no. Menelik, let's get some NFL UK in Seattle. So what do the Seahawks need to do to win on Saturday night, Adam, do you think?
Get out of their own way on offense. Don't make stupid penalties and just stay on schedule. There's been so few games this year. The Patriots game is such an outlier in the sense that it was so clean. It was by far the cleanest game we've played this year. Yeah. Even Carolina at home, there were a couple of bad picks that we made, but just staying on schedule is so important for this team. You know, when you're starting from first and 15, it's just so, so much difficult to get out of it, especially if you can't run the ball that effectively. So just stay out of your own way. Don't be afraid to punt if you have to. There's no need to force things, but you know, just play methodical Seahawk football that's got us to where we've been for the last 5 years. There's no need to change that.
Yeah, I heartily agree. I think staying out of their way is probably good, hopefully the buzzword around the building this week, because even with all our struggles, we have more offensively and defensively, obviously, than the Cardinals currently do with all their injury concerns and how this season's gone from. So stay out of their own way. Don't make any silly mistakes like Russell Wilson made at the end of the game on last Thursday, throwing a needless interception. That happens. We should be in good shape. Ross, agree?
Yeah, definitely. We should play Seahawks football, run the ball, run it down their throats, and just pressure Carson Palmer, because he can't move this year. So you can quite easily knock him out of the game and then get Drew Stanton in there, and it's a field day, isn't it?
Yeah, it's possibly not going to be a 58-0 like it was a few years ago. But
fingers
one
crossed.
Hope and dream. That'll be one way to sign off.
Yeah, 8-0 at home.
Is this, obviously we kind of touched on it, does it possibly doesn't really matter until the playoffs, but this is probably the week we really need to do start seeing something, that means like some sort of click on the offense, Ross.
Yeah, definitely, because I'm already writing off next week. That doesn't, whatever we do next week, we could score 70 points. It's irrelevant in going into the playoffs playing the 49ers. This is at least a semi-decent defense, so some things have to come together this week.
Yeah, Adam?
This is week one of the playoffs, basically, with a week in the middle that isn't a playoff game. But win this and you get your bye week. Don't win this and you don't. So it really is. This is as important a regular season game as we've had for a long time, in my opinion, because I don't think we can win four games for the Super Bowl, but I think three is doable.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think this is the start of the playoffs. It's vitally important, because it sounds like in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whenever the bye week playoff game comes around, that could be the week we see CJ Prosise back on, and we saw how important he was in New England. But if he's back on the field, which he sounds like
game changer,
update, it's an absolute game changer, because teams don't really have much film on him, which is one thing. But we saw, as you said, it's the cleanest looking game we had all season. It's no coincidence that he was such a vital cog in that, and he just, as you say, game changer, and he's the closest thing we have to David Johnson, I think right now. But the bye week is important, isn't it? The number two seed of the Lions crapped the bed at MetLife this Sunday. They've got a tough run to the end of the season now. But it's vital, isn't it, Russ?
Yeah, just win, because the Lions aren't going to lose the Lions are going to lose to the Packers in week 17. So this is it. If we win this week and they win next week, we should be in, but we just have to make sure we do our job and win.
Yeah, I'd agree. But yeah, prediction, Adam?
Prediction 21-10 Seattle.
Okay, Russ?
This one scares me slightly, because they've got nothing to play for, and I think Arians would quite happily just love to beat us, but we're going to say 21-17.
Okay, I'm going to be a little bit more confident on the offensive side. I think we put at least, I think what Drew Brees did to him last week is the blueprint. He just keeps throwing it. They're eventually going to wilt. Brandon Cooks is Tyler Lockett in this scenario. I think it's going to be 34-17. I think David Johnson will do just enough to put him in field goal range a couple of times, and Palmer will get lucky on a deep ball over Terrell or Deshaun Shedd or Jeremy Lane, most likely. I think I am pretty confident though we win, and then we go to the empty Gene Stadium in Santa Clara next week. And
it'll be a terrible game, isn't it?
Just sign off Trent Baalke in the best way possible. if Trent Baalke had to have a final game before he gets booted out of California, it has to be us, doesn't it? It has to end on a tip pass as well. Moving on, other NFL, obviously, let's go into lock and shock of the week. Adam, do you know what it is this week now?
Just went out what the game is, yes, I should be.
Yeah,
okay.
Cool. Adam, do you want to go with your lock?
I'll go my lock, Green Bay to beat Minnesota.
Okay. Ross?
New York Giants to beat the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, what, tonight? Yeah. On the road on Thursday night? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For me, it's also the lock is the Patriots to beat the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets are just, who is, I don't even know who's signed a quarterback this week, because I'd say Bryce Petty was broken last week. So the Patriots, Malcolm Mitchell is the start of the week in fantasy football.
Yeah, that's good.
If you need a deep wide receiver, he is going to, with Martellus Bennett, also no Gronk and Edelman and Amendola, Malcolm Mitchell, man, he's a burner. He's a good player. Shock of the week, Adam?
I'm going to go for a double shock, and I'm going to go for the NFC South teams 3 and 4 to beat the NFC South teams 1 and 2. I think the Panthers will beat the Falcons, and I think the Saints will beat the Bucks.
Just taking both of mine, and how have you managed to do?
Wunderbar!
Ross, do you have a third one?
My third one then is the Colts to beat the Raiders, because they have to win.
They, oh, yeah, they, it's do or die. For me, I will have Tom Savage to win and beat the Bengals, I think. I think it's probably not too much of a shock, really, because they are division leaders in the Bengals.
Making his first start like rookie quarterback.
Actually, no, screw it. The Chargers don't have a running back. Philip Rivers is having a pretty poor season. They can't go 0-16. The Cleveland Browns, I'm guessing it's the final home game of the season, they're going to beat the Malvin Gordon-less San Diego Chargers.
I'd have 14 more wins in my picks this season if I stopped believing that they're not going to go 0-16.
Oh, don't talk to... Adam is 2 games behind the leader in our Pick'em League, and he picked the Browns, 6 weeks ago, Adam? And he still...
I did not pick the Browns, but I accidentally put the Browns in my list. And I think for all of those listening that are in our league, they should redo the magnanimous thing and allow me the extra win. Because the horror on my face when I walked in and saw you all on that lovely Sunday afternoon in Seattle, and you all rid me for picking the Cowboys, there was quite clearly no Oscar-winning performance there. And I was genuinely shocked that the fireball-fueled pick session that I had ended in disaster with that one. So do the right thing, people.
No. any NFL things you're going to be looking out for this week? Obviously, it's all over the shop. As you said, it's Thursday night games tonight. Then there's 3 games, apparently, on Sunday. Then the Monday night game as well. Apart from 49ers at Rams, it's a pretty cool-looking schedule, isn't it, this week?
There's some good games scattered around. Falcons at Cardinals. Well, both those NFC South games look great.
Sunday's going to be great. I mean, what a day to be Jewish. Christmas Day for me. I got Steelers and Bengals and Chiefs and Broncos. You guys can all do family time. I'll be having a great time.
And then hopefully we've got Dak Prescott finally coming down to earth and proving that his Pro Bowl addition was
game
a bit
manager, available. Dak Prescott.
Yeah. I mean, I think I don't know if I said both of you or said to, I said it somewhere that the Dallas Cowboys performance last Sunday was the most Seahawks thing ever from the Dallas Cowboys. That's how we won games on the 2 Super Bowl wins. We just did enough on offense, and then the defense steps up when it needs to. David Irvin absolutely destroyed 2 right tackles in one series. I mean, that's just that was what Bruce Irvin used to do a few years ago. It was just close games out by getting to the quarterback. But yeah, it should be a fun weekend. Where can people get involved with the podcast as ever? Ross, we always encourage it.
Yes, we do tend to tweet during the games at Seahawkers UK. You can get the podcast from thepedestrianpodcast.podbean.com. You can also leave us a little donation there if you are so inclined. There's a little PayPal button. You can get us on iTunes. If you do get us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star rate and review. All of those really help towards our rankings and giving us more visibility for fellow Seahawks fans who are looking for podcasts.
As I said, it was all massively appreciated. However you do decide and help and support the podcast, I'd just like to thank everyone who joined us live in the chat room last week. It was a really fun, I think I can speak for Adam and Ross. It was a really, really fun way of recording, and it produced a pretty enjoyable, pretty good pod as well, if we do say so myself, tooting our own horn. Next week we'll be back, obviously, hopefully reviewing a impressive, fun Saturday night win against the Cardinals, looking ahead to the game at Levi Stadium against the hapless 49ers, signing off Trent Baalke from the NFL in just a fitting fashion, as we keep saying. We hopefully will be joined by someone, a fellow NFL UK podcaster who is a part of the Pigskin podcast. If you haven't listened to Pigskin podcast, it also is on Podbean, and it's really, really good. It's more of a general NFL look. It's just a really good podcast. Hopefully one of the guys who does that is a 49ers fan, so hopefully he'll be jumping on with us next week to join us. We also will, if we get the bye week in the playoffs, we'll be doing a Pedestrian Podcast Awards show where we'll go through all the predictions we did at the start of the season and obviously give our thoughts on the general NFL MVPs and all the rest of it. But until next week, hopefully the Seahawks win. From all 3 of us at the Pedestrian Podcast, have a very good Christmas if you are celebrating it. And until next time,
go Hawks.
That is going to do it. 12, they're bringing the trophy home. Your Seahawks, Super Bowl 48 champions.